Happy St. Patrick's Day. Now, when I was growing up, if you didn't have green on St. Patrick's Day, you got pinched. Now, I am not telling you to pinch somebody. Do not leave this place and say, he got up there and said me to pinch somebody. But look around and see the people that don't have green on and make them worry that you might pinch them. But it is great to be in the Lord's house today. I tell you, St. Patrick's Day is a wonderful time. The Irish set it aside for their one of their big celebrations. And we do that here in America also. It's a wonderful thing. And there's a lot of Irish in my family. So if I say something about Irish that you're like, oh, he should have said that, I can say it because I'm part Irish. So I can get away with it, right? But a few years back, I sent off for a DNA test, you know, to see exactly what I come from and all those things. And it basically told me a lot of stuff that I already knew. I'm 50% basically English and Irish because that's where my parents come from. My father's family is from England, and my mother's family is from Ireland. And I remember my grandfather, a big, big red-headed guy, ran moonshine. He did some drinking back in his day. See, I can say that. Not only my grandfather, but I'm Irish, so I can say that. But a very, very good guy. And redheads kind of run, you know, in the Irish clans. Did you realize this, though? There are more Scottish redheads than there are Irish. But the Irish carry more redhead genes than the Scots do. Just a tidbit of information. Now you've got some information that I can push out, something that's very important, and just leave that in there, right? But when I got the results back, so it's like 50%, you know, British and Irish, which I kind of knew that. 20% German. Hey, how about that? Then I was a little bit of French. I don't claim that one. Some Scandinavian. And I'm 4% West African. Yeah. So how about that? And then they test for Neanderthal variants. Yeah, I'm in the 99 percentile on that one. There's only 1% that has more than me, and the top guy was only just a little bit more than me. This is out of thousands of people. So you said, I knew there was something different about that guy, or something wrong about that guy. But now that I've told you my makeup of, you know, where I come from and stuff, do you look at me any differently? Do you think of me any different than the same Tony Vines just a few minutes ago? Well, I hope not, because I'm not 100% of one thing. I guess you would call me a mutt, right? But mutts live longer than the purebreds, so I like being a mutt. But see, I'm not 100% of anything. I am 100% saved. And I know that I am 100% child of God. And when it comes down to people, there are only two types of people in this world. And it doesn't have anything to do with your skin color. It has nothing to do with where you come from, what accent you have. It has nothing to do with any of that stuff. It's either that you're saved or you're lost. That's the two types of people we have in this world. And if you're saved, you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we are to help build them up. We are to help to encourage them. We are to be there as a family for them. And if you are lost, we as saved, we're supposed to tell them about Jesus Christ. That is our job. That is our honor. That is our privilege to be able to tell someone about Jesus Christ. So forget about all this other stuff. Forget about nationalities. Forget about race. Forget about color. Forget about creed. Forget about all this stuff. Look at people as 100% made by God and that He loves them. And so today, because of St. Patrick's Day, let's talk about St. Patrick just for a little bit. Interesting guy. I don't know if that's what he looks like, but he looks really sanctified, you know? And he's got the halo around. He's got the three-leaf clover. Y'all do know what the three-leaf clover is all about, right? He used it to teach about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? I thought I'd throw that one in there, too. But you see, St. Patrick, he's not Irish, but he's associated with the Irish. He's actually British. He was actually, even come down to the thing where they think that he was a Roman citizen. But what happened was, when he was 16, there were Irish pirates that came over to where he was living and kidnapped him when he was 16 years old. They carried him back to Ireland, where he spent the next 6 years herding their animals, like sheep, whatever they had, right? He was a herdsman. So after 6 years, he finally was able to escape, and he went back to his family. Well, in time, he became a clergy, and he started moving up within the Catholic Church. And then he was in France, and he was working his way up, and he was getting close to being a bishop at the time, and he felt a calling on his life. God sent him a message and said, guess what I want you to do? I want you to go back to those same people that enslaved you, and I want you to tell them about Jesus Christ. Wow. How about that, people? I mean, if somebody looks at me wrong, I don't want to talk to them for days, you know? Just imagine if somebody come and took you away today, they held you captive for 6 years, and you finally escape. And then a few years later, God tells you to go back to those same people. How many of you would be willing to go, I'm on board, God. I'll do it. I am your man, woman, person, human being. I am that person. I will do it for you. Well, today, we're going to talk about the plan. The plan. You know, we have all kind of plans in our lives, right? When I was growing up, I planned on being an architect. Until I got into an architect drawing class and realized I wasn't any good at that. And it really is hard to be that specific, that detailed, and not be messy. Ooh, that was rough. So I plan on being an architect, but I'm not an architect. I didn't plan on being a preacher, but I'm a preacher. I did all the other things. I worked my plan for years, but it wasn't working right. I did what I thought I was supposed to be doing instead of doing what God knew I should be doing. And I tell you what, it's only by His grace and love that I survived those years, that He allowed me to survive those years so that I could come back to Him, that I could follow His plan, that I could do stuff to glorify Him instead of glorifying myself. So when you look at it from that point of view, that's only one plan. That's God's plan. It is our job to get within His plan. Now, is that easy? Have all of y'all done everything right, correct, 100% in God's will your entire life? No. If you say yes, we're going to talk after the service, right? None of us have. None of us have. And we're just like these kids that are running around, you know, and on a nice, warm summer's day, and all of a sudden, they have this great idea. Well, I'm talking about myself on this one. Let's go down to the lake and go swimming. That's the plan. It's hot, you know, and that water, oh, it feels so good. We get in there and you just play around for hours. That was my plan. My father here on earth had a different plan for me. It was called mowing grass, raking leaves, go cut hay, bale, haul that. Just whatever he didn't want to do. That was his plan, right? I got to do it. I was the young, healthy teenager, so it didn't hurt me one bit to go outside and mow grass with a push mower, which we're going to buy this year, by the way. We're getting a push mower this year. It didn't hurt me one bit to do those things, right? See, my plan was to go and have fun. My plan was to hang out with my friends. My plan was basically to do nothing. That's a good thing to do on a hot summer's day. But God's plan, well, my father's plan, I guess he was kind of God back in those days, but I'm just kidding. He had different plans for me, just the same way that God has plans for us. It doesn't mean that we can never have fun. It doesn't mean that we have to be Christians with a downcast face. It doesn't mean we have to be the ones go, I'm never going to that church because, man, they are depressing. That is not what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to have life and have it more abundantly. But see, God, though, says, I want you to work my plan because it's the best plan for you. And the reason it's the best plan for you is because I know what's going to happen in the future and you don't. Does that kind of blow your mind? Yeah, it does. Best laid plans get messed up. When John and I first got married, that was all kind of little things that we had to change according to my plan and her plan, you know, because you mesh two families into one. And I mean, it came down from the simple thing of going out of the parking lot at the mall. Will I go right or left? I'm serious, because if she thought I should go right and I went left, that wasn't good. It also came down to the thing whether you squeeze the toothpaste in the middle or you roll it up. Toilet paper over or under. Towels, you got to fold it a certain way because they'll fit in the closet. If you don't fold them a certain way, they don't fit right. I didn't know that. But my plan was changed, right? But it was all for good because they do fit better that way. But there is a person in the Bible. If you look, it's in the Pew Bible. It's on page 35. But it's Genesis 45, 3 through 8. And his name is Joseph. He's in the Old Testament. Joseph, the coat of many colors. And we're going to talk about the plan. Because you see, the plan with St. Patrick was a simple thing that while he was in Ireland for those 6 years, he learned their language. He learned their traditions. He learned the local people, what they do, how they act, what they eat, what they want, their dreams, desires, all of those things. He learned about the people while he was in Ireland for 6 years. So when he came back to Ireland, he knew, he understood them, and they accepted him more. Now, you can understand the Irish were pagans at this time. They believed in multiple gods, and they had heard about Christianity before St. Patrick, but they had not been like converted over as a nation. But he had this inside information about Irish. So when he went back to Ireland, he was able to talk to them in a way that they understood, you know? It's like when I go back to Alabama now, believe it or not, those people have accents down there. Wow, they are thick. Because we've been in Virginia for 14 years. Ours is kind of, believe it or not, ours is kind of mellowed out a little bit. But we'll go down and we're in drive-thru at Jack's, the greatest restaurant ever. And we'll go through that restaurant and we're like, what'd you say? What? Because their accent is like thick. I mean, it really is. Do y'all hear my accent when I'm talking? Really? Wow. Well, just multiply that by 10, and then you'll understand what I'm saying. So, but when we go down there, they still hear us. We're still Alabamians. You know, we were born and raised there. So when we go down there, I know it's a stretch, but we're accepted in because they know who we are. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. I don't know how long you have to live in New Kent to become a New Kenner, but I think you have to be born here, to be honest with you. Because we're 14 years, going on 14 years, and I feel welcome here. I feel loved here. Y'all are very great people, and thank y'all very much. But I still feel like I'm from Alabama. Does that sound weird? I guess it has that whole accent thing. Doesn't help. Oh, and I'm going to throw my wife under the bus. I live 18 miles from her, and the accent in Piedmont, Alabama was a lot worse than the accent in Center Alabama. Y'all were, they were a lot worse, right? And so then you go further south and you go down to right down below Montgomery, and they have the old Southern dialect where they drop all the R's. You know, like if you watch Gone with the Wind or anything like that, they still sound like that down there. So it's kind of cool, but it's different. So St. Patrick, he knew the lay of the land, so he was able to go back and he was able to connect with the people. They accepted him easier. And they accepted his word about Jesus Christ. And thousands of people, Irish people, were converted from paganism to Christianity because of that movement. He became a bishop. And so he had other clergy underneath him. So he trained them on how to do that, how to talk to them, and how to reach them, and stuff of that nature. So because of his efforts, because of all this, that is the reason why Ireland, part of Ireland, actually, well, all of Ireland, is Christian. And no, he did not drive all the snakes out of Ireland. That is a rumor, okay? There never has been snakes in Ireland. So if you have snakeophobia, or whatever it's called, that's a good place to move to, right? Genesis 45, 3 through 8. And it says, Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for a remnants of on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Let's read that one again. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made a father to Pharaoh. He made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of his entire household and ruler of all of Egypt. So when we look at Joseph, we look at it from a point of view, the similarities between him and St. Patrick, right? Because you remember Joseph, right? He was the daddy's boy. Jacob had him in his old age. He had him with Rachel, his first wife. You know, the number one wife. Not the two or three, the number one wife. He had her with her in her old age. He was the daddy's boy. And he also had dreams. And he had two main dreams that he went back and told his brothers about these dreams. And basically it was, hey, guess what? I may be younger than you, but all of you are going to bow down to me. That went over really well. Let me give you advice. If you have a dream like that and you're telling your brothers, yeah, they're probably going to get mad, right? They got so mad at Joseph because his daddy looked at him in a different way, treated him differently. He said that they were going to bow down to him. They got so mad, they threw him in a pit. And then just so happened, Arab traders were coming by headed towards Egypt. And guess what they did? They sold him into slavery. That wasn't very nice. It wasn't very nice. The worst thing my sister ever did to me was, they tried to drown me one time. I think that was by accident. I hope it was. They used to beat me up. When I was little, I got two older sisters. They are mean. They're mean. I was very nice to them. I hit her in the head with a brick and a shovel, but I was very nice to them. They never would let me play. They would always go off with their friends because, you know, they were 6 or 4 years older than me. But I never told them a dream that they would bow down to me. You know, I never was mean to them. But it's kind of a sibling thing, right? Everybody has siblings, right? Y'all got along with them greatly at all times. But they never sold me into slavery. That was good. Jacob's brothers did. They sold him into slavery. So when we look at Joseph, I said Jacob, didn't I? Joseph, we look at Joseph and we see that he's in slavery now. But he's in slavery for a reason. He's in slavery because God has a plan. He's in slavery because God wants Joseph to go ahead of his family. Now, you saw that in the scripture where he says, it was God's plan for me to be ahead of you. Now, when Joseph saw this, did he realize the plan that was set before him? When he was standing there going, he's waving by at his brothers that they just sold him into slavery and he's been taken off to Egypt, away from his family, away from his father, away from everything he's ever known, to a foreign land. Was he thinking, wow, this is God's plan? This is exactly what God has laid out for me. Probably not. He's probably thinking, I can't believe they sold me into slavery. I can't believe I'm never going to see my dad. I can't believe that I'm probably going to die over here in this foreign country because, you know, I'm in slavery. So he's not seeing the bigger picture. He's not able to see the bigger picture, just the same way we are not able to see the bigger picture. But God saw, God sees, and God put him in a position where he could help. Now, he went through a lot to get to that position, but when you look at the position that he is in, he's in second in command of Egypt. He's no longer a young boy that was raised out as tribesmen. He was no longer someone that didn't have authority or power. He's in a position that the only person that can overrule him is the Pharaoh. That's pretty good, right? You're going from being sold into slavery to becoming second in command of the entire nation of Egypt. Now, this was not because he was great at any one thing. It's because the one he served was greater than all things. Does that make sense? So if you do serve someone like God, and he can see the future, and he does lay out a path for you, just like he has for St. Patrick, just as he has for Joseph, then there is a reason for it. And then we can see the end of some of those paths before we die. Does that make sense? We can see things that God will allow. He will show you, he will confirm that you're on the right path if you'll just open up your eyes, open up your heart, and let the Holy Spirit lead you, to guide you, direct you. It's just like Jonah was talking about the song. You know, it's little things like that. It's like when Brother Ben gets up here to preach or things of that nature, they don't, William and him, they probably don't talk. Sometimes they do talk, but they don't talk about music and sermon, right? That doesn't mean that choreographing, okay, we got to have this music to go with this. You know what I'm talking about? But it makes you feel so good, like when John's talking about, that things just line up and it slaps you in the face and you go, wow, this is where I should be. This is what I should be doing, right? That is really good. And that helps a lot when you have those moments, those aha moments, right? I'm in the path of God. God has me where he wants me to be for my benefit and for his glory. Those are really good. But what do you do when you step out of that path? What do you do when you're wandering around in the world and you're not following the path? I've told this story before. When I was 17, I was called into the ministry. I ran. I went off of God's path. I went the world's path. I went my plan, you know. I'm going to Auburn. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to be the happiest man ever because I am working my plan. Well, God has a way of getting your attention. He has a way of getting you back. And I thank God that he did sustain me during that time. But he has a way of getting you back on his plan. But what we don't want is for God to really have to get your attention. That's not, you don't want that. Think about the nation of Israel when they got off of God's plan, right? What did he do? He used other nations to bring them back to him. When somebody gets off of his plan, things happen. It's not because he's mean. It's not because he wants bad things to happen to you. It's because you have distanced yourself from him. You have left his plan and working your plan. So he has to get your attention to bring you back to where you need to be. You ever heard of tough love? Oh, I've had a lot of tough love in my life. Everything from my parents giving me tough love to my wife telling me that this shirt's not green. I went yesterday intentionally to buy a green shirt. Is this green? No, just the guys. Guys, is this green? That's green. It's green enough, put it that way. But that's tough love. When your wife looks at you and goes, I think you're colorblind, boy. It's tough love. But it's for a reason. So when God is correcting you, he's not like the little boy with the magnifying glass burning ants. He's not the bully. He's not that person. I'm sorry. I just couldn't. I thought you was trying to pinch him there for a second. I was wondering what you was doing. Remember, I said not to pinch, okay? But when it's like God is not the bully. He's not a bully. He's not trying to cause you harm. He's trying to bring you back into the goodness. He's trying to make it where you will be able to fulfill the plan that he has set before you. That way you can glorify him. And if you glorify him, then you will be glorified. Wow, people. It's so easy, but it's so hard. It's something that we should do and something that we fail to do. It is what we are called to do, and yet we still don't do it. Now, I'm not saying you're intentionally, I'll talk about myself, I'm not intentionally ignoring God's plan. But things happen, right? The world gets involved. There's things that's going on in your life that really takes you away, that takes all of your attention, that takes all of your mind, it takes all of your heart, it takes all of your spirit, it takes all of your energy, and you're like, I have nothing left to give God. But that's wrong. We should give God all of that. And then he will help us with all the other stuff. So now when we look at those two, we see that they were both put into slavery. We see that they both were put there for a reason. We see that Joseph was there for a reason, not only for his brothers, but for the nation of Egypt and the people that surrounded. Did y'all get that? It has been a famine for 2 years in the entire area. People are starving to death because of Joseph. They prepared for that. They have stocked up grain. They have prepared for the famine yet to come. There's 5 years left in this famine. There's going to be people that are going to die, but they're not going to die anymore because Joseph is in the right place at the right time because he's following God's plan. So he's there in a position of power. He has the food. He has the stuff that's going to help the other people survive. So now that his brothers come down, his family is reunited. Then his father comes down, and they actually move to Egypt. They are living right outside of Egypt. They're all reunited once again. So the question is this, would you go back to Ireland for the people that put you in slavery? Would you welcome your loved ones, the ones that sold you into slavery? Would you be that type of person? Well, let me tell you about another person. His name is Jesus Christ. And he willingly came here for us. It tells us in John 8, at verse 33, it's verse 34. He says that if anyone sins, then they are a slave to sin. And a slave has no permanent place in the family, but the son has a place there forever. And if the son sets you free, then you are free indeed. Jesus didn't come as a slave. He came as a Messiah. He came to help us be free. He came to help us no longer to be a slave to sin, but to be a conqueror. He came from heaven to earth to set us free. That is what he did for you and me. St. Patrick went back. Joseph did it with position of power, but it was for a small group. It was for a certain amount of time. It was for right then, right there with these people. Jesus did it for all the time that we're here. He did it for all the people that would sin against him. He did it for you, and he did it for me, knowing that we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're not going to follow the path. We are going to be sinners, yet he still died on the cross for us. Why? Because he didn't want us to be slaves to sin. He wanted us to be more. He wanted us to be adopted in the family of God. He wants us to be with him in heaven forever. How many of you would willingly go to someone that you knew was going to double cross you? How many of you would willingly go to someone that you knew that was going to disappoint you? How many of you willingly would go to someone that you knew what, out of a shadow of a doubt, was going to let you down? Time after time after time after time. And yet he still came. He still died. He still came out of the tomb on the third day. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes for you and I. What does that mean? That means we don't have to be a slave to sin while here on earth. That means that we can be overcoming sin. That means we can be conquerors. We don't have to be slaves. That means because Jesus shed his blood, then we can be covered in his blood and the sins will go. Does that mean you'll never sin again? No, that's not all we're saying. What we're saying is, though, that Jesus' blood is more than enough to cover the sin in your life. So when you do sin, you can go to Jesus Christ and ask him for forgiveness. When you do sin, you don't have to go to the temple and sacrifice an animal. You can go straight to God because of what he's done for you. So let me ask you today, are you a slave to sin? Is there something in your life that's number one and it's not God? That's wrong. You put God first. I mean, you put God above family, above church, above friends. You put God first. If you put God first and everything else falls in line. But is there something in your life, that one thing in your life that you keep stumbling over, that one sin in your life that just keeps you down? You know, I've talked to the kids. I think I talked to y'all before. The devil will not work harder than he has to. He's going to go after you in your weakest spot, the weakest link in the chain. And whatever that sin is that he can get you to stumble over, he's going to keep going after that one thing until you take control of it, until you're no longer a slave to that sin. And then the devil's going to have to find something else. So we need to make the devil work harder. So when we look at it from that point of view, we are more because of what Jesus has done for us. So if there's a sin in your life that's holding you back, that's causing you to stumble, it's causing you to just not be the person that you're being, it's causing you not to be on the plan that God set before you, don't leave this place with that sin in place. Leave it at the foot of the cross. Seriously, leave it at the foot of the cross. Let the blood of Jesus cover. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, to help you, to strengthen you, to overcome it. Don't be a slave to it. Be more than that. Be a conqueror. But first and foremost is this. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, don't wait another moment. You're not promised that next moment. If you do not know him as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are still a slave to sin. And if you're a slave to sin, then you're not living life to him that is most abundant. If you're a slave to sin, then you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, then you cannot say that you're going to heaven because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Okay? So if you do not know him as Lord and Savior and you do want to go to heaven, I promise you this, you do want to go to heaven, then it's through him. He says that if you admit that you're a sinner, you will confess with your mouth, I'm a sinner, Jesus. I cannot save myself. It's only through your sacrifice that I can be saved. He said that if you believe that I died and I come out of that tomb on the third day, and now I sit at the right hand of the Father, if you believe that and you confess with your mouth, he says, thou shall be saved. No question about it. Thou shall be saved. People, I am 100% born again. I know that I'm a child of God because I gave my life to Christ when I was 9 years old. I haven't lived a perfect life since then, but I still know I'm going to heaven. Can you say the same thing?